Praise the Lord. We thank God for this wonderful opportunity to gather in His presence, to hear His word preached to us. The Bible says it's Him who preaches the word through His servants. So we are listening to His word, and Psalm 107 verse 20, it says, God sends His word and He delivers from destructions. He sends His word to heal and deliver from destructions. If you want to know how God will deliver you, God will deliver you through His word. And we know the example of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist had questions about Christ, if He was the real Christ, the Bible says Jesus Christ, for about an hour, He went and performed great miracles with His disciples around, and they saw the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. And then He said to His disciples, go and tell John what you have seen. And they left. After they had left, then Jesus started talking about how great John was. The question is, why didn't Jesus Christ come to the emotional level of John and try and tell the disciples how great John was? Because if we think as human beings, if we were in John's position and we would hear Jesus Christ talking about how great we are, immediately we would feel like that would bring that joy to us. Emotionally, we'll be lifted up. But Jesus Christ did not do that. What Jesus Christ did was He took John back to the word. In the book of Isaiah, where the life of John was prophesied, in the same book, it talks about the Messiah performing miracles. And Jesus knew that John was familiar with that word, and if he hears what Jesus Christ was doing, John would believe that this is truly the Messiah. Jesus did not try to come to his emotional state and try and say, feel good, cousin. They were cousins, these guys. I understand what you're going through. No, Jesus Christ pointed him back to the word. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Our deliverance comes from the word. Praise the Lord. So when we are here in His house, we have a moment then to hear His word preached to us. So let us receive the life that is carried by the word. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear this word preached to us, let us know that that word carries faith. And the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 20, it says, and now the life that I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. It does not say that I live by faith in Jesus Christ, if you go to the Greek. It says, I live this life by the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember, your faith is human. Your faith depends on the five senses. But the faith of Jesus Christ sees in the spiritual realm. It believes those things that are not as though they were. That's the faith of Jesus Christ that you have been given. And Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says we have been given the same measure of faith. All of us have been given the same measure of faith. God does not look at some people and say, I'll give these people more faith than others. No. We have the same measure of faith. So now what do we do then? Then we can have confidence that as we apply our faith in the name of Jesus Christ, that same faith which has worked for other people, it will work the same for us. Don't look down upon your faith. That faith that you have, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the same faith that Jesus Christ lived by, believing in the unseen. So allow then that faith to be at work in your life. Praise be to God. Amen. Now the Bible talks about us applying our faith and allowing our faith to bring results for us. And 2 weeks back, we started on a new message, which is entitled Faith Visual Aids. We've spoken about the anointing oil. We said the anointing oil is a faith visual aid because it allows you in your spiritual mind to be able to see what you trust in God come to pass. Because you believe that when the anointing oil is applied, the power of the Holy Spirit is applied. That is a faith visual aid. Last week, we spoke about Holy Communion. And we talked about what Holy Communion does for us. It reminds us what Jesus Christ did for us. And then we can spiritually see what God has made available for us. Faith works by hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So for our faith to work, there should be hope. So when we do these things, when we apply these visual aids, we anchor our faith, then our faith gets released, because I know that anointing oil has been applied upon my life. I believe that the yoke of the devil has been taken off my shoulders and it has been destroyed. And when I walk around knowing what has been done already. I don't feel like it is still going to be done. I believe that it has been done. So now I've got my visual aid. My faith has got this visual aid that I can see. I have done something which has allowed me to release my faith, and I see myself anointed and set free. We said the Holy Communion as well did exactly the same thing for us, because what it did, it speaks our deliverance. Once I partake of the Holy Communion, what happens is I receive that my deliverance is a done deal. And then I can then walk in faith, confessing, calling those things that be not as though they were, just like God, calling those things that be not as though they were. In Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. So, when will that happen? That is going to happen after I have released my faith. And the faith visual aids allow me to release my faith. I take it that it is done. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, the way that we receive Jesus Christ is the way that we should live. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in Him. How did we receive our salvation? Did we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord and believe that we are set free by Him? And then because of that, then all of a sudden we waited. We wanted to see a change in our lives. Is that how we did it? No. We believed that Jesus Christ has saved us now because we have confessed Him as our Lord and Savior. Because we have confessed Him, we do not want to see any sign in our lives, in our natural lives. No. But we believe that in the spiritual realm it has happened. So, Colossians 2:6 says, as you have received Christ, walk ye in Him. So what does it mean? Everything else that we'll receive from Christ, we will receive it if we first release our faith and not wait for the manifestation, but walk by faith, calling those things that be not as though they were. Mark 11, verse 24 says, after you have prayed, believe that you have received, and you shall have it. The have it part comes after you long believed. That is critical, Bazalwane. That's the life of faith. If we want to see things in the natural and believe that we've received, we are not in faith. But then we are saying, God has given us faith visual aids then to assist us to be the point of release when we release our faith. And we know that once we've done those things as inspired by Him, we know that He will then fulfill His word. Today, our subtitle is Corresponding Actions Are Faith Visual Aids. Corresponding actions are faith visual aids. Now let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2. We will read verses 14 to 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's a big phrase. Can your faith save you without works? I'm reading from the Bible, from the New King James Version. This is not me. This is what the word is saying. Can your faith save you if your faith is not accomplished by works? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So at times we think our faith is active, but we find that our faith is not active. It is dead because there are no corresponding actions. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Believing that there is one God is not enough. It does not help the demons that know very well that there is one God. They know there is one God, but their faith, because it is not accomplished by action, their faith is not going to save them. So you can have faith and even tremble, knowing that there is one God. But if your faith does not have corresponding actions, your faith is not working. We are talking about faith, your faith visual aids. We're talking today about the corresponding actions being your faith visual aids. So you know that the moment you carry out the corresponding action, you release your faith. I have done my part. I have released my faith, and my faith is active. Verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You need to be very careful here. Very, very careful here. It says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? When did God call Abraham righteous? You go to Genesis chapter 15, verses 5. And 6, God promised Abraham that he will have great descendants, a great number of descendants. And in verse 6, the Bible says, when Abraham believed God, God accounted that to him to be righteousness. Abraham was said to be righteous before God by doing no works, by believing the promise of God. Then he was said to be righteous. But here it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? This is talking about a different kind of works. The works that should follow, that come and flow as a fruit of our belief. Because Abraham believed God, he believed the promise of God that he was going to be a father of many nations through Isaac. The Bible tells us that when he went to offer Isaac on the altar, he said God was going to raise him from the dead. That is what was in his mind. So he believed God. Can you see that? He believed that he was going to be a father through this young man, Isaac. So God was not going to take away Isaac. Can you see the corresponding action here? This corresponding action is not the one that is talking about him being made right before God. No. For him to be right before God, he had to just believe the promise of God. But the corresponding action now, it is confirming that he believes the promise of God. This corresponding action that it's talking about here, it happened decades after the promise of God. God told Abraham that he was righteous. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, he was righteous. He did nothing. Many years later, now he tells this man to offer his son that he was supposed to be the father of many nations through. He says, God says, offer this son. And what happens? This man says, I'm going to offer this son, but I believe that God will raise him from the dead. This is like you bringing an offering before God and saying, God, as I bring this offering before you, my father, I know that this offering, what I'm offering, it's not leaving me. I'm sowing it as a seed to you, but I know that it's coming back to me. That was his attitude. He believed that what he was doing, he was not losing anything. So we must not confuse this verse. A lot of people are confused by this verse. They think that for you to be righteous before God, you must do the works of the law. No, that is not what it demands. That's not what this verse is talking about. You must always look at what is the action that they are talking about. And you look at as well, when was Abraham said to be righteous? He was said to be righteous, to be just. Justified when he believed the promise of God. But the Bible says now his action confirmed his faith. Let's continue. Verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, his faith was made perfect. Your faith can be made perfect. If Abraham did not offer Isaac, he was not going to be a father of many nations. His faith that released Isaac, the only seed that he had, his faith that released Isaac is what made his faith to be complete. Let's continue. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Where is that? That is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God before he did this act. Verse 24, You see then that a man is justified by works. Oh, confusion. Confusion again. A man is justified by works. Understand. What works are we talking about here? The works we're talking about, it's him offering his son. And this work he did decades after he was justified before God. So he's not talking about the works of the law. I'm just laying a foundation with the scripture. I'm going to give you more verses which explain this. Verse 25. Likewise, and I think this example now will start giving us a clear understanding of what works we are talking about here. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Think about this. This woman, Rahab, heard about what God was doing to the nations that resisted Israel as Israel was walking from Egypt. She said their nation was trembling because of what God was doing for Israel. So she believed in the supremacy of God. She believed that God was greater than their gods, and God had given Israel that land where they were in. So she believed that. When did she believe it? She believed when she heard what God was doing with the other nations. Then, time later, spies come to Jericho, where this woman was living. And when she sees the spies, she remembers what she heard. And because of what she believed, she saved the spies. But let's look at the difference. When did she believe? She believed years before. And the action comes when? Late. So this is talking about after you have believed, then live according to your faith. Don't say, I believe, but your actions speak differently. This is not saying, do actions so that you will then be justified. No. It is saying, after you have believed, live according to your faith. Let your actions show that you believe. When God says to you, Abraham, go and offer this son on the altar. And you say, but God, you said this son is going to be the father of the descendants that I will have. So you don't say, God, I'm not going to offer this son. Because you'll be saying you don't believe what God has promised. So what do? You have the same response as Abraham, where you say, I believe that God will raise the son from the dead. Because there is no way that God can kill this son. There is no way that God can take from me this son. Because he said, through this son, I'll be father of many nations. I hope it's becoming clear. There are two different kinds of works. And verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So faith without the right kind of works, it is dead. So the question is now, what does it mean that faith without works is dead? The answer lies with the understanding that there are two types of works. As much as there are two types of righteousnesses. Two types of works. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. The word says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, look at that, God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Can you see two types of righteousnesses? God's righteousness and human righteousness. It says, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So what are they trying to do? They are trying to be right with God by doing works. They want to follow the law. They want to do things for them to be set right before God. Whatever that the Bible says they should do, they go and try and do that with the hope that that will make them right with God and God will answer their prayer. And the Bible says that is wrong. You are trying to establish your own righteousness. You must never do that. You must submit to the righteousness of God by faith. Let's look at the following scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, and be found in him. This is Paul saying. He says, I wish that I can be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Do you understand? Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Now that explains. If you do things according to the law of God or the law that you've set for yourself, hoping that God will respond to you, you are working on your own righteousness. So you must never do that. Don't try to serve God according to your own righteousness. Accept his righteousness. He says, let me start again, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, in what Christ did for me. So my righteousness must come through me believing what Christ did for me, not what I do. So when God responds to me, he does not respond to me because I've met some standard. But God responds to me because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Let us focus then on Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? That's what Paul is talking about here. He says, the righteousness, or the righteousness, which is from God by faith. Two types of righteousnesses. Now let's look at this. Let's continue reading now Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. This is a man talking about the righteousness of men, not the righteousness of God. So whatever you do to try and attain righteousness, it is like a filthy rag. God is never impressed by that. So don't try to do things to please God. It's not going to help you. Just receive the righteousness, the qualification to receive anything from God by faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. Just receive that. Don't try to do things to receive from God. We are talking about corresponding actions being your faith visual aid. So we're saying there are two different kinds of works. Works of the law and the corresponding works. Let's look at this now. Romans chapter 4 verse 2. It says, for if Abraham was justified by works. Now this is the opposite of what James was saying. If you do not understand what the word is talking about here. You remember in James? James said Abraham was justified by works, and faith without works is dead. You remember that? Paul comes, he says, for if Abraham was justified by works, that's the opposite in a human mind. But it's because you don't understand that there are two kinds of works. The works that Paul is talking about here, he's talking about the works of the law. Abraham was not justified by the works of the law. Because it says, if he was justified by the works of the law, he would have been able to boast about what he did. And that's what Abazolwane do. You know, I fasted for 2011 days, and God did this for me. I prayed for 5 hours, and God did this for me. You know what? I gave my tithe. After giving my tithe, God did this for me. Can I tell you? We are talking about faith visual aids. There is nothing wrong with fasting. I'll show you as we proceed. There is nothing wrong with praying. There is nothing wrong with tithing. The attitude, the understanding. If you think your tithing, if you think your fasting, if you think your prayer is what makes you qualify to receive from God, sorry. But if your tithing, your fasting, your prayer is a response to you believing that God has blessed you already, and God prompts you to pray to as a point of contact, as a faith visual, and to know that I have prayed as he called me to pray, then I've had a point where I released my faith. If you do it like that, you will see the power of God as you pray for 5 hours, as you fast for 2011 days, as you give your tithe. Because you are not doing it to please God, but you are using them as your faith visual aid. By faith, I can picture myself now receiving this thing, because the point came when I released that faith. Just like when I believed for my salvation. Praise the Lord. And Romans chapter 3, verse 28, it says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So I wanted to drive this point home, that we must understand that there are two types of works as much as there are two types of righteousnesses. So when the Bible talks about your works complete your faith, don't think the works of the law. Think the works of the Holy Spirit, prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something. He can prompt you to anoint yourself with oil. He can prompt you to take Holy Communion. He can prompt you to fast. He can prompt you to pray long time. He can prompt you to tithe. He can prompt you to give. So it's a response to faith. You believing that God has done what you want, and then you do that. Is it clear, Bazalwane? Now, therefore, the phrase faith without works is dead doesn't mean that you have to do something to make God respond to you. That's what people don't understand at times. They do things and they think God will respond to me. If I do this, God will respond to me. Don't do that. Respond to God by doing what the Spirit lays in your heart. And as you do that, it becomes your faith visual aid. Because once you do that, your faith gets released and you'll see the result. I know this is different to what we are familiar with, so it may take some time to have our minds wrapped around this truth. Now the Bible says, in all your getting, get understanding. And you must remember, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, it says, if there is no understanding, the thief comes and he steals the way. So in other words, take time then to go through this, what we're talking about. Have your mind understand it. And as your mind understands it, the Holy Spirit will give you the revelation. Your part is to get understanding. The revelation comes from the Lord. Just spend time in this truth and then let the Lord give you a revelation. And once you have a revelation, it will work for you. If you just take it because I have said it and you don't have a revelation, it's not going to work for you. It won't work for you. You will need me to pray for you. And I can pray for you. Because I have the revelation. And then you will see the thing happening. But if you want to get what God wants you to get without me, get your own revelation. Spend your time in this truth that you've received. And as you've received it, then what will happen is you will see this thing coming to pass. And that's the best way. God does not say we should not pray for one another. There are times when we need support from other people. So let us allow God to use that as well. But that's not the best. It means you should act out your faith as God prompts you. Remember the two examples of Rahab and Abraham. They believed God first and they acted as God prompted them. So we do the same thing as well. I believe God to prosper me, and God prompts me to give, I give. I don't give to force God to respond to me so that I can prosper. I believe God has prospered me. And He says, I give, then I give. Corresponding action. Look at this. So, we should know then that our prayer, our participation at church, our giving, or any form of good deed, they do not benefit us before God if they are not motivated by love. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So your giving, if you are not motivated by love, if you are not inspired by God through His love and compassion for His work, if it's not God who has inspired you, it will profit you nothing. The person that receives will benefit, but you'll get nothing. So let your giving be motivated by love, not by the law that says give. You'll see, we'll get some time as we continue with this message. The examples will go through. It says in the beginning of the week, after you've received your income, decide how much you want to give. It doesn't say give this much. It says you decide how much you want to give. Now, we must understand that the context of faith without works is dead is that you believe God's word and you are willing to do anything in response to your faith. Put it differently, this does not mean that you choose to do something that will force or bind God to respond to your need. And the example that I've put there is what? Tithing. That's what people believe. You tithe, you'll force God to bless you. You tithe, God will protect you. He will protect your stuff. So you're doing it to force God. If you do it to force God, I can tell you, you will not see the results. But if you are doing it in response to your faith, God prompts you. Because the Bible says, when a tenth is holy, then the rest is holy. So if you understand that principle, that if I give a tenth of my income, it just makes my whole income holy. You must understand, when the Bible talks about money, it says it's filthy lucre. It says it's mammon. The Bible doesn't talk good about money. So how do you purify your money? You give a tenth of it. As you give a tenth of it, you purify your money. Because the Bible says, if a tenth is holy, the rest is holy. That's where the principle of tithing comes from. It's not a law. It was not introduced after the law. It was introduced before the law was introduced. We'll talk about that. So that we can have the freedom of understanding how to give our tithes and offerings. Praise the Lord. So this speaks of corresponding, matching, agreeing, conforming action. So when the Bible talks about works, it's talking about corresponding, matching, agreeing, conforming action. It's not the deed of the law. It's not the work of the law that you would do and God would bless you. That was a covenant. We are not under that covenant. We are in a different covenant. We are blessed already. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. It's in the past tense. He has. We are blessed already. We are not going to get blessed. We are blessed already. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? Every spiritual blessing. It's in the past tense. Check this one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us. Already it's a past tense. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. This is our approach to God. That's why we do not do things to make God to do for us. He has done already. So we respond by doing things. So your actions show what you believe. Once you have acted in line with your faith, you know that you truly believe the word of God to you. Don't try to impress God by your actions. Don't say, I'll fast for 7 days. And when God sees me hungry for 7 days, he will feel pity for me. Don't try that. Why? Because Romans 8, verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he withhold anything from us? He will never withhold anything from us. So believe his promise and act as you are prompted by the Holy Spirit. Where is that? Romans chapter 7, verse 6. I like it from the Amplified Bible. It says it so beautifully. Let's read it from there. It says, but now we are discharged. We are discharged from the law, completely set free from doing things for God to bless us. We are completely discharged from that. We don't do things for God to bless us. We are discharged from the law. And it says, and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. The law kept held us captive. It was not helping us. And then it says, so now we serve not under the obedience to the old code of written regulations. We do not serve according to the law. If you bring your tithe into the house of the Lord, then I will bless you. No, that was a law that was given to Israel. We don't give our tithes like that. We give our tithes differently. We give our tithes the way Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek. He gave his tithe to Melchizedek, and it was completely different to Malachi chapter 3. So it says, but we serve under obedience to the promptings. This is the word I was looking for. Promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. promptings. So how does God lead you now? He doesn't have laws to guide you through now, but God puts promptings. So you feel a prompting in your heart. The Holy Spirit now guides you like that. No rules. So he prompts you. I want you to give this much as an example. I want you to bless so and so. You're not following a law, but you're feeling in your heart. That's what the Lord has put in your heart. You feel in your heart, like in my case, I felt in my heart some years back, I think it's about 2 years back, where I started saying every church meeting that I attend, I'm going to give this much as a minimum. That's the minimum. God can tell me to give more, but I have made a commitment in my heart as I felt prompted by the Lord that the minimum that I will always give is this much. I've been doing that now, it's about 3 years or so. The Lord can tell me to give more, but I've given a minimum. It's the same thing as with your Abraham. God did not tell him to give a tithe, but he understood the principle of the tithe. God didn't tell Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, to give a tithe. He understood the principle of tithing and he committed himself. He said, as long as I live, I'll give a 10% of everything that you give to me. Prompted by the Lord. That is how we tithe. Conclusion. Your actions should confirm what you believe. Not try to convince God of your faith. You don't do something to show God that you have faith. But you're just confirming what you believe. God says, give away Isaac, Abraham. Abraham believed that Isaac was going to be the father of the generations to come. He doesn't have a problem. He says, no, if I give away Isaac, surely God will raise Isaac from the dead. That's a corresponding action. I don't have a problem with that. He comes to Rahab. Rahab believes that the God of Israel is the greatest God. There is no other God like the God of Israel. And then God comes and he says, I want you to protect my spies. What Rahab does, he says, I'll protect them. And then she protected them. And her protecting them gave protection to her household. So we act in response. We don't act to convince God. So stop works to try and convince God. Stop doing stuff to try and convince God. Stop. If you feel that you're doing works, just pull back. Just rebel. Just stop. Just don't do it. I told you my story that I did it several years back where I just rebelled and I stopped doing church. I just stopped. Until in my heart, I understood that I don't do church to please God or men. I do church in response to God's love for me. And I've got no problem with that. It has worked for me. So some other examples now. Fasting. So do it as you are prompted by the Holy Spirit. It can help you to release your faith. I told you the story of how I decided on my wife that I wanted to be sure that she was the woman that was supposed to be my wife. And I went and I prayed. I said, God, I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days. On the third day, I still did not have the answer. When I went to sleep on the third day, I said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer and you have answered my prayer. Father, you have told me who is my wife. And Lord, I'm going to sleep now. Thank you. When I woke up in the morning, I knew that she was supposed to be my wife. Before I even went and told her anything. By the time I went to speak to her, I knew she was supposed to be my wife already because I decided to pray and trust God for direction. So I'm just giving you an example of where I've used prayer and fasting and had it release my faith. Because when I went to sleep, that's when I released my faith. I said, I don't have the answer. I don't know what's the answer, but I'm going to sleep now. I said I was going to pray for 3 days, fast for 3 days. As I'm sleeping now, I have the answer. Boom, God could answer. All the other days, I was still asking over and over and over again. You see the problem? So then fasting and prayer there, setting time, helped me to release my faith. And I've got an example here as well. Giving, do it as you are prompted by the Holy Spirit, out of love, not out of obligation. That is why we don't hit hard on tithing. Because if you don't have a revelation of tithing, you should not tithe. It will mean nothing to you. But once you have a revelation of tithing, tithe. Because you will see the results. It works, Bazalwane. It works. But if it is done properly. And the last part is laying on of hands. I'm saying partake of laying on of hands. Because that can help you as well to release your faith. Don't do it to force God's hand. Don't say, I will go to so and so and have that person lay his hands upon me. I know that if I do that, God then will be forced to answer me. No. The Lord prompts you, He puts in your heart to go to a specific person to pray for you. Listen to that prompting. Go. Allow that person to pray for you. Because the moment you do that, that point the person prays for you, that's when you release your faith. And you'll see the manifestation. And this is what is recommended. If you are having something perhaps that you are dealing with over a prolonged time, and you don't see a breakthrough, listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He can prompt you to tell somebody and ask that person to pray with you. As you respond to that, that's the point when you release your faith. Praise the Lord. We've come to the end of our message, and we thank God for His way. Today we did part 3 of this way. Faith, visual aids.